would you describe PhytoLab for us?
Well, PhytoLab is an analytical testing facility, and we are in Washington State and out right on the edge of Seattle in Kirkland, Washington. And we provide the quality assurance testing that was required under the Initiative 502 in Washington State for all cannabis, flower, and related products for sale through the adult use system here in Washington State.
I was looking at the kind of testing PhytoLab does, and I imagine a new set of industry standards needed to be established in Washington with the implementation of Initiative 502. So were you involved in establishing those standards?
Industry standards for cannabis have been really, really interesting. You know, a few labs opened early on in the process back in about 2010, I believe. And I became interested in it. I was working as a researcher at the University of Washington and was curious about what people were using as medical marijuana and wanted to, you know, learn more about it and find out. So I opened an analytical facility, and soon after that, a couple of others opened here in Washington State. And there's been quite a variety of people coming into this from a business perspective with, you know, non-chemistry backgrounds. And so there's always been a lot of questions raised about, you know, the quality of work that's being done. I think that standards in general have really increased over time. What we did in Washington State, when the Liquor Control Board took over this process of developing the regulatory guidelines, we held a meeting, or the Liquor Control Board sponsored a meeting in which probably about 8 different analytical laboratories from across the United States participated. And so we all sat down together and talked about, you know, the problems of having an unstandardized trade. And what happened here in Washington was that they adopted a document called the American Herbal Pharmacopoeia Monograph for Standards of Identity and Quality Control. And that document lays out many guidelines, including the methodologies for the analytical work itself. And then what the other thing that happened was that the state of Washington wanted to certify labs to make sure that the laboratories were following these guidelines. So they hired me to write a certification process. And what I did was just take something that's really well known called Good Laboratory Practice. It's a document from the World Health Organization. And I adapted it for this industry, but it's mostly all of the same elements. And that's what's used as a certification process here in Washington State for laboratories.
And what sort of tests are done on marijuana available for retail sale?
Well, the quality control that's required in Washington State includes giving it a visual inspection, so to make sure there's no, that foreign matter is to an amount that's applied across all herbs and other botanicals. And we measure the moisture content because, you know, if it's too high, people are just paying for water. And to be able to accurately calculate the potency of the cannabinoids, primarily, you know, THC being the most important one with regard to potency. So we do the potency analysis. And then also for most of the products, we do microbiological screening as well to make sure that it doesn't have heavy burdens of any microbes or fungus. And also many of the other products made from the flower go through these same sort of quality control tests.
I was curious, in testing marijuana, what you found in it. Were there any surprises? What have you found?
It's not much of a surprise because, you know, what has happened with recreational use, sort of guised as medical use over time, is that the breeders have often selected plant varieties that were almost like mutants with regard to how much THC they're producing. So if you, you know, if you went out in a field where cannabis was growing wild, you would have this mixture of plants that had, you know, different ratios of cannabinoids. But what happened was people selected just the ones that had the high amount of THC, and then they have produced them under high-stress lighting conditions indoors often, at which the plant stress can cause the THC levels to go up even more. So, you know, for me, it's no surprise that most of them are just high THC content.
Right.
The average, when they first started testing cannabis back after THC was isolated, was about 4% THC content. And this was from plants from around the world. And the average now is upwards of 12 to 15%. You know, occasionally we get 25% results on a flower. And so, you know, none of that surprises me. What is coming back, I think, is a call for more biodiversity in the plant. And that has included bringing varieties back that have a higher content of cannabidiol, which is a secondary compound. It's produced in higher abundance in the fiber type plant often. It's non-psychoactive, but it has its own interesting effects and actually may reduce the psychoactivity of THC. So there's people that prefer that effect as opposed to, you know, being overly stoned, especially if they're not habituated to THC, don't use it often. So the other thing we like to look at, and this isn't a required test, is the terpenoid profile, the terpene. Most people know what these are because they've used essential oils. Those are, you know, popular just for either using it as a scent, or people will use essential oils, you know, in their home or medicinally. So, you know, a common one might be lavender essential oil, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is just the plant, the lavender plant, taken through a process until all that's left are this class of compound called the terpenoids, and that's what gives it its scent. So it's a complex mixture of a lot of different compounds. And cannabis, you know, most people choose their cannabis by how it smells.
Right.
And so that's the real, probably more of the differentiator across different strains or varieties of cannabis is the smell and that terpenoid profile. So we can also provide that. And there's some of the compounds that you'll find almost always, but then sometimes you'll come across a plant that might smell almost like a Christmas tree, for instance.
Right.
Which would indicate probably high levels of a compound called pinene. And that compound may be related to a strong cognitive effect or like stimulating of the mind, because we know that that compound can have that effect, or we've shown it to do that in animals or in cell culture models, that it would inhibit the breakdown of a compound called acetylcholine, which is stimulating to the mind. Limonene has been shown to have antidepressant effects, actually, in humans. So a high limonene or citrusy smell may or may not, you know, have a mood-elevating effect if it's in the cannabis plant in high abundance. All of this is sort of speculative, but it adds to the intrigue of using cannabis.
I'm so high and so dry, I'm sailing in the sky. Just blow some gauge, I'm on a rampage. Jack, I'm mellow.
What are some of the challenges you faced in running your business?
Well, I think, you know, the primary challenges are probably those that are common to any new industry, where everything is just in a process of sorting itself out, and especially, you know, the legal landscape of cannabis and trying to do workarounds with the feds and, you know, keep everybody happy is challenging. So, for instance, right now, while there are supposed to be edibles on the market, because there's been so much attention given to the potential that children might encounter things that look tasty or appealing, such as candies, these edibles, it's been very hard for them to get to the marketplace here in Washington. The other thing is just the slowness of the whole process, you know, at the bureaucratic level. And there are, you know, 2,500 licensee applicants just to grow cannabis. And at this point, only 175 or somewhere around there have been approved. But then only maybe half of those are actually in production. People have run into financial obstacles to actually finish their build-out of their grow facility. Not so much for the laboratory, except, you know, we're just waiting for more product.
Well, is there anything else of interest about Phytolab that I may not have asked you?
Well, just that, you know, we were one of the first in the industry. I was the first in Washington to open a laboratory and, you know, came to this from a science background and from studying other botanicals. And so, you know, our level of expertise, along with my science director, who also came from that background, you know, sort of sets us apart. The fact that I developed the, you know, the regulatory framework for the laboratories, I think speaks a lot about who we are and what we do here.
Well, Michelle Sexton, I want to thank you so much for taking time to chat with Cannabis Radio News.
You are very welcome.
Dreamed about a reaper 5 feet long, mighty mince but not too strong. You'll be high but not for long. If you a viper, I'm the queen of everything. I've got to be high before I can swing. Light a tea and let it be. If you a viper, when your throat gets dry, you know you're high. Everything is dandy. Truck on down to the candy store. Bust your conch on peppermint candy. Then you know your body's...